gave me his availability for another day this afternoon.
Great.
You guys are going downstairs. That's an active shooter training.
I want to, so horribly, all of a sudden, I want to learn how to apply a tourniquet properly. Because they're teaching that in all the schools now.
Oh.
And I feel like we should probably learn how to do that.
I think it's that metaphorical
horse. No. And metaphorically. Both.
Stop the bleeding.
Stop the bleeding.
That's a good one, Julia.
Well, yeah. Good.
Anyway. But yeah, they're doing that in schools now.
That's terrifying.
Isn't that terrifying?
Okay, my watch is
a sad state of things right now.
Mm-hmm. It's 9:35.
Okay.
Give me 1 second.
You know, they did that 60 minutes piece. Did you see 60 minutes?
Okay, it is 9:36, and we are here by presence and telephone for a special meeting of the Personnel Committee. The press and public have duly been notified. Our agenda is to interview for both the city attorney and assistant attorney position. And our first interview here is Julia Copeland. So I will, John, do you want to start the questioning?
Sure. I guess you said Everett, Desiree, Carol, Julia, you, and I presume Maria.
Right. Yes.
Hi, John.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, John.
Sorry, I'm not there in person. Julia, we just you know, obviously we know you, but we're sort of trying to set the tone for the way the city goes about contracting with third parties and vendors, and so we appreciate you coming in, and certainly we're excited and we're hopeful that you would apply for the position. But I think to start off with the interview, we'd just love to hear a little bit about, you know, your background and your interest and your firm and all of those things related to this position.
Okay. Hi, John. Thank you. Background is a little different. English communications major, graduated '96. Immediately moved to New York, tried to make it as an actress and a singer, traveled the world, came back to Charleston, and worked as a paralegal for 5 years when I realized, why am I doing this? I'm just going to go to law school and do it myself. So went to Charleston School of Law in 2005, graduated in 2008, and immediately started working at Hinchey, Murray, and Pagliarini. And when I started with them, I was doing insurance defense, short-term and long-term disability defense, and hospital work, peer review work. And the opportunity came up at the town of Mount Pleasant to apply through the RFP process for Corporation Council. And I participated in that process. There's three of us, David Pagliarini, Jim Hinchey, and myself. And we've been working for the town as Corporation Council through contract since 2011, I believe. So we've been with them for quite a while. And as throughout my work with the town, just doing municipal work, it's been a fantastic experience. I'm no longer working insurance defense. I still do a little hospital work, but through municipal law, I mean, you are basically a general practice lawyer, and you dabble in just about everything, but the most fun for me, and I've often told Desiree this, is that I love putting out fires. It's fun to solve problems and try to collaborate with the elected body and the staff here to try to come to amicable solutions that save the town and taxpayers' money. And throughout my work with the town, I've met Sterling Halverson and began working as the assistant attorney with the Isle of Palms, which has been fun. I also do some work for McClellanville, City of Charleston, and every once in a while, Folly Beach.
That's great. Thank you.
Sure.
Carol?
I guess most importantly, just philosophically,
yes, ma'am.
I just want to make sure you're on board with all that this entails,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming to the meetings, which you've been doing, but it's been, you know, and sort of taking the deep dive into being our city attorney. So that's really more, you know, just committing to it.
Oh,
and so that's how,
yeah.
what I mostly, for me, from, because it's a big difference, I think, from assistant to city. So it's a big jump. So
definitely.
I just want to make sure you're ready to take that big leap.
Well,
more than anything.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
I mean, how long have I been, when did Sterling go? In August? September.
July. July
wow.
of this,
yeah,
July.
So I've been working full-time with Desiree.
Right,
and,
for 4 months. Right?
Yeah, and
yeah.
I think, you
so
know.
So that gives you an idea, but I just want to make sure you're into it.
I am into it.
Okay.
And what I am looking forward to is getting an assistant in to help with covering meetings if I can't make it to a council meeting. That's what worries me right now is I don't have any backup. Because Sterling, one of the big things when I was working with her was it was relayed to me that just cover me if I can't make a meeting. And Sterling was always at the meeting, so that never happened. So it'll be nice to have someone else to help me out in those situations. But yeah, I think, thank God for the email. The internet, because
right.
Desiree and I communicate daily and by email or by phone, and I can always review contracts quickly. And I think I have a pretty good turnaround
yes,
with her. So
I
yeah.
will say that I'm very, very impressed by how quick Julie always responds to our questions. That you know, during the weekends, at nights, whenever I have a question about something that's coming up, it's been great to just reach out to her, and she's always been quick
Where's
to respond.
Where's your office?
We have an office on Daniel Island.
Mm-hmm.
We just opened a new office on Folly Road. And I live in West Ashley.
Okay.
And you guys are going to love Claude. Claude's been, we brought Claude in during the Park West lawsuit when we gave the council members an opportunity to get their own lawyers because they were all sued personally. And so Claude's firm was brought in to represent Chris O'Neill, Councilman Chris O'Neill. And we got to know him in 2015, and he's quick and he's smart and he's collaborative, and I just think he's a great lawyer, so you guys will really like him as well. But he's very helpful in the sense that he'll always swoop in and provide any backup or research or help if we need it.
That segues into my question was in terms of the relationship between the attorney and the assistant
mm-hmm.
attorney, because we only saw Sterling at,
mm-hmm.
you know, we rarely saw you at all. I mean, we never saw you.
Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think I was ever.
Well, Sterling, we were Sterling's only client, so she
yeah,
was always
right.
pretty much available, and only when she went on maternity leave, that's when we had a temporary gap there.
But more in line with not just meetings, but how do you delegate the actual research work that has to be done?
Mm-hmm.
With an assistant, you would therefore be able to say, okay, this is what I'm handling, this is what you're handling.
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay.
One thing that I've noticed and what I'd like to change eventually, and I've talked to Desiree about this, is Sterling was operating more of an Alan Young approach, whereas she would do all the contract work, but she would job out a lot of things. And I'd like to try and keep as much as we can in-house at our rate, because when you're jobbing out, you're jobbing out at $400 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, Sid Boone's not cheap because of
right.
his experience, but I can draft a quick claim deed and call DOT and have them sign it for a lower rate. And Claude, I think, is very capable as well. He's got a great insurance defense background, and he now has an active adoption practice, but, you know, he's got the time to help us as well. And I would like to bring him in if I need it. I don't anticipate that happening a lot, but if it does happen, he'd be happy to help.
Well, as we get into some of our major capital projects, there may be a lot more outside, you know, experience we may have to turn to.
Perfect.
The other question I have is in terms of, you know, when I hire a lawyer, I don't hire them to show me how I can get away with it. I'm hiring them to show me how can I legally do this. And in some cases over the past years, we were met with immediately, you can't. In your philosophy, if we give you an assignment, do you immediately go to like the website of all the cases that have been done with that and who won, who lost, et cetera? What's your methodology in terms of...
I guess it depends on the question you present to me. But, you know, if there's a legal issue, like right now we're talking about do we need to close 41st or, you know, for the marina. Do we need to close that road? Do we need to abandon that road? Can we just operate without doing anything to the road?
Right.
So generally my first, never thought about this, my method. My first thing is to reach out to other municipal lawyers or anyone with that experience and kind of just pick their brain.
If they've already done it.
Right, either by phone or by email. Right. We have a municipal listserv, which has hundreds of lawyers who deal with this stuff every day. So I like to get a practical approach. What's the easiest way to handle this? Should we do this? And then what I'd like to do is give you your legal options and let you pick. I'll certainly make a recommendation. I think you should do this. Right. I don't think you should do that. But you know, a lot of the times there's an impression with among politicians, present company excluded, that just tell me how I can do this, you know, or make this happen. And I don't generally operate that way. I'll tell you what the best approach is and the legal approach to do it. Sometimes it might not make you happy. But, you know, the law is the law in some respects.
John, do you have additional questions?
I mean, we have a nice set of kind of sample questions, so I might just pull a couple from there. In terms of your, you know, we've had some experience, obviously, engaging with you. Can you share a time when you've had a conflict with it? We haven't had a conflict, I guess, is what I should have said. That I know of with you. Can you share a time where you've had a conflict with a client in terms of, you know, whether just miscommunication or something like that and how the issue was resolved?
Conflict with a client. Well, I do have a private client right now who knows that he's breached a contract, but he wants me to be a, quote, Nancy Grace and fight it. And I've had to tell him that you have to pay this sum, and, you know, his response was to hire another lawyer to give a second opinion, and that other lawyer, Mark McKnight, called him and said, you need to just do what your lawyer is telling you to do. She's right. but other than that, you know, I think the tricky thing with municipal work is just the politics. You know, there are a lot of political ideations that you have to kind of balance when you're giving your political opinion. Or not your political opinion, excuse me, my legal opinion. So that's always, it's just a delicate balance, and it's just a matter of delivering your advice in a certain way so as not to offend anyone without even knowing it. That's where it gets tricky. I've never personally experienced that myself. I've seen it happen. But, you know, a lot of times, sometimes the best choice is to say nothing and just let it unfold the way it's naturally going to unfold. Just wait till someone asks you for your opinion. But no, John, I've never had an actual conflict with someone where someone's filed a complaint about me or fired me. If that's where that question was going.
Yeah. Well, no, it was more just a general conflict resolution and just kind of curious, you know, how you think of that. Like I said, I can't think of any that we've had either with Sterling or with certainly not with you in your tenure, so as they were with my tenure either.
Okay.
Carol?
I don't really have anything else.
I want to see this list of questions you guys wrote down. I love that you guys came up with a list of questions.
and it's not on this list of questions. Okay. But I've always been curious. So many times we'll get an attorney general opinion. But it's not law. And how, so often, you know, I look to the attorney general to think, okay, he must know the full ramifications, but then, you know, we've had our attorney say, well, that's just an opinion, so you don't have to follow it. How do you balance the general attorney's opinion with what you should or should not do?
You know, attorney general opinions are tricky because they're only answering the question and the set of facts that they're given. And there are situations where people will purposefully set up a question to get the answer they want, whether or not it's actually right in the situation that you're dealing with. I think attorney general opinions are helpful in a sense that if I want to show you guys as a council that this is the general consensus from Columbia, as far as whether or not something's legal, you know, I think they're helpful, but again, they're not law. So as with any attorney general opinion, you take it as just evidence or facts or, to help you make your decision. I would never say that an attorney general opinion is binding, let alone right. I mean, there's been recent ones that have come out within the past 6 months that are actually incorrect, and the municipal association's working to convince them to change their opinion. But a lot of the times, you know, it just is what it is with those opinions. But I would never say that they're binding.
Okay. Any questions you have for us?
Any questions that I have for you guys? I think my biggest question is just, I'm just trying to learn the ropes with you guys. Mm. You're very different from what I've dealt with at the town. And I enjoy...
Can you unpack that a little bit? When you say that we're very different, like, we're also learning as well, so if there's ways in which we're different that we could improve upon, or ways in which we're different that are good.
No, I think you're...
So that we can...
Okay, sure. I think what I like about you guys, I like the diversity. I like that there are a lot of women on this council. No offense, John. But I also like the fact that it's very clear that you all have very different opinions and you can disagree up on council, but you ultimately come to a consensus and you walk away and you get along. At least it's what it appears to be in person. I don't go on social media, so I don't see any of that. But one thing I really do appreciate is that when you ask me a question, you genuinely want to know the answer. There's nothing worse than being set up. And that's what I would tell all of you as council members, is that if you have a point that you want to make and you want to use a lawyer to do it, please let me know first, because sometimes I've been in situations in open session where they ask me something and they don't want to know my answer because it's going to blow a huge bomb in the middle of what they're trying to do, you know, and if they had just prefaced it first, they would know what we're going to say. But Jim Henshey, my partner that hired me, he always said, never ask a question you don't know the answer to, and I would certainly give that same advice same to all advice. Of you going forward.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's hard.
Good, right?
I know, right?
I don't know if I can do that.
I don't have any questions. I think Julia has brought a really good environment, I think, at least in our working relationship with staff. I've been very impressed how, you know, she's a very thorough, very quick to respond. And like she said, you know, it's not about what we can or cannot do, what we should do, what's mm-hmm. within the legal bounds of what we're mm-hmm. trying to do and what are the options. I think, you know, I know that a lot of council members are of the mind, what are our options? Let's mm-hmm. let's look at all the options. Let's look at what best meets the city's needs, what best meet this process or this problem. And I think that Julia brings a really fresh perspective on a lot of our issues. I think we've been we know the problems that we have. We've been dealing with them for quite some time, and I think it's good to bring some fresh eyes and a new perspective of how we should handle some of the issues that are thrown our way. So.
Thanks.
Well, Julia, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Okay.
Thank you, Julia.
Thank you. And Claude said he'd be here at 10, so you might be able to knock him out early.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. We do need to talk.
Yeah, I know. What time? Do you want to just call me when you're done?
So we're going to press Claude virtually. This is John Moy. He's our a new council member, too.
Good morning, Mr. Moy.
Good morning, Claude. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
We're going to start with you again, John, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Claude, first of all, I'm sure everyone in there is thank you, but thanks for submitting the RFP. We're excited to meet you and learn more about you and for your interest in the position. We're a small city, and we get to know everybody pretty well. And I understand you've probably spoken with Julia, so you have a little bit of a glimpse into what needs we have, but we wanted to start off the interview just kind of getting an overview from you as to, you know, your background, your experience, obviously
Yes. So I grew up in Kentucky, went to law school at University of Louisville, came out of law school and went to work for sort of a large regional firm. And I was in a litigation practice. And I bring this up because it was sort of a full service firm. We did a little bit of everything. But that was probably my first exposure to things like land use litigation and zoning issues and things like that. And worked there for a few years, transitioned to South Carolina in 2003. And I didn't take the South Carolina bar until 2010. And I've had different experiences. I worked for several years for a medical malpractice firm. But then at the end of that firm, and Smith Whitley was the name of the firm, they're out on Daniel Island, we had, Mount Pleasant got sued by some developers, both the Park West developer and the Middle Street Partners, which was developing the apartments there next to the towers, okay? And so they didn't only sue the town, but they sued some individual council members as well. Our firm was brought in to represent Chris O'Neill, who was one of the individual council members who was sued. And that was my first, and that's been a little over 3 years ago, that was my first exposure to direct working with the municipality. And I loved it. I loved working with Chris, and we ultimately got him dismissed from both cases, as it should have been. Should have never been named in the first place. But then the town asked me, the town attorneys, Ms. Copeland, Jim Henshey, David Pagliarini, said, hey, we've enjoyed working with you. Why don't you come in and represent the town on these two cases that we have? And so since that time, and that's been a couple of years now, I've worked with the town on both the Middle Street and the Park West case. And I just love the work. It's by far, I tell everyone this, working for the town of Mount Pleasant has been my favorite work that I've done as an attorney, and I've been an attorney for going on 20 years, so I love the work. Why do I love the work? I think I enjoy just sort of, although my situation, position, supporting the town of Mount Pleasant has been more directed toward litigation. I'll get more detail on some of the other things I've done for them as well, but it sort of suits my nature in that I've got eclectic experience, and I think representing a municipality, you have everything from personnel issues to supporting the police department and the fire department to leases for the city marina. And so it's just a wide range. And I sort of like being a generalist and not necessarily doing just one thing all day, every day. So that appeals to me, appeals to my nature, appeals to my experience. As an engineer, I've been in administrative roles for larger organizations, so helping build budgets, understanding the importance of budgets. But now we take that into the arena of the public's involved, and so we got to make sure we communicate those things accurately and well in a timely manner in accordance with FOIA. We handle agendas properly, but how we're going to communicate about our budgets and vote on our budgets, and we've got first readings and those kind of things. And so I just love the idea of supporting the organization in such a general way. It matches what I enjoy doing. Now, beyond supporting Mount Pleasant and the litigation, I also have worked for their Board of Zoning Appeals. So if someone appeals one of Kent Prowse's decisions, they'll have Julia's firm will represent the staff member or the town staff, and then I will represent the Board of Zoning Appeals on the appeal because you've got technically a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. And so I've represented their Board of Zoning Appeals in several matters. Last week, I represented the Finance Committee, a similar situation. They were appealing a decision on a business license decision. And so I represented the Finance Committee on that. So I've done more than just supporting litigation for them. And again, I love that. I love supporting those lesser committees and commissions. I enjoy that as well. I've done a little bit of work for the city of Hanahan. I did some contract work for them, enjoyed that. Johnny Cribbs, who was the town, I don't know if you know Johnny Cribbs. Johnny was the city manager for Hanahan. He's now just voted as a Berkeley County supervisor. It's a big deal, transitioning there. They've got a new city manager, Mike Cochran, that's going to be starting in January. But I just did some contract work for them and hope to do more work for them in the future. And maybe even explore possibilities with Berkeley County, but But I just enjoy the work. It's a lot of fun to me, and I enjoy assisting, whether it be, I think, a big part of being an attorney for me, my perspective, the reason I did is I like people, I enjoy helping people. So when you look at a council or planning commission or board of zoning appeals, everyone has different experiences. You have more experienced council members, newer council members like Mr. Moy, but just whether it's helping them understand FOIA, whether it's helping them understand how we handle agendas. If we want to amend an agenda, what do? We got to make sure we do that properly. I just enjoy supporting that and answering those little questions and helping with those little matters and issues. And so we're not all knowing. So sometimes, you know, you bring in other attorneys that maybe, whether it be bond issues, things like that. But I just enjoy being that generalist and supporting a larger body like this in the community.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. That's great. Thanks, Claude.
You're welcome.
Carol?
Sorry. First of all, welcome. Thank you for
Thank you
coming
very much.
So much. We really appreciate it. We're excited to meet you. I guess, you know, mostly my question's more logistical. In the past, you know, Julia was our assistant city attorney, and we really never saw her.
Okay.
Because Sterling was just always... So I'm wondering how you see yourself fitting into sort of the role and what you might be doing. I mean, do you have any idea or...
Well, I think one is it will be at the discretion of council and those commissions and how much you would like me to be involved. If you want me at every... council meeting, I'll be there. If you want me to attend planning commission meetings, I'll be there. Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm glad to participate as much as you would like.
Okay.
Of course, Julie and I have worked together very closely for 3 years, and I would see my secondarily supporting her and whatever she needs. We work very well together. I consider her a close friend.
And y'all are in the same firm?
We're not in the same firm.
Okay.
We have two separate firms, and I think that's actually,
okay,
for this purpose, is a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got two separate firms, two different liability policies,
okay,
you know, that can cover risks. And also, there's a division there. And so, I'm not, while Julia and her friends, I'm not beholden to Julia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't report to her. There's no conflict of interest there, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have two separate firms. And
mm-hmm,
and I think there could be times, again, where you have those... If you had a situation like a Board of Zoning Appeal issue that's an appeal from a zoning administrator,
mm-hmm,
then if Julie and I are in the same firm, then I couldn't. You'd have to bring someone else in,
right,
to represent that Board of Zoning Appeals and as opposed,
right,
to staff, where in this instance, she can represent,
yeah,
the town. And potentially, now, there might be an argument that that because I'm the city attorney that we maybe need to bring someone else in, but that's something we have to explore. But I think there wouldn't be that same conflict of interest that Hinchy Marine Pagarini has is thinking through when they're handling things like that. So I actually think that's advantageous,
yeah,
to the city. But I, to answer your question very directly, as much as I'm at your leisure, I'll be here and just help as much as you would like.
Okay, cool.
And my practice is, I've got an eclectic practice. I do adoption work, which is generally a 9-to-5 practice. Lots of finalizations. So I'm in primarily Charleston, Rochester, Berkeley County, doing finalizing hearings, meeting with families, generally during 9-to-5. There's sometimes there's exceptions to that, but a lot of your meetings are after hours, and
right,
so there's not a huge conflict with
Where
that.
Where is your office?
It's in Mount Pleasant.
Okay, great.
Not far from Town Hall, so I'm very, very easy
Centrally
access, very
located.
very convenient
great.
For just to be able. I could be over here. I think my drive was 15 or 16 minutes, so I could be here very quickly.
If nothing happens on the connector.
Right.
Nothing happens on the connector, yes. Well, and I use Waze, one of those apps, you know, this phone,
yeah,
app,
right,
so hopefully it'll direct me across Sullivan's Island if that's
right,
the case.
That's right.
Just to I guess, piggyback on what you were saying, I think it's a lot about harnessing their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've heard Claude talk a lot about his experience with BOZAT, Planning Commission,
mm-hmm,
so it might be that we can split those duties,
right,
and to
right,
to not
absolutely
maybe rely all the time on Julia,
okay,
on things, and
right,
we can really
right
structure in a way that it works for both, and we can have both perspectives on some issues and kind of do it like that instead of how we've in the past it was if the acting city attorney was not available for X reason, then this assistant city attorney would mm-hmm. come in. And I would like to kind of go away from that and really use the strength of both. You know, maybe not equally, but you know,
of course,
try to
right. But right, we've got strength in numbers. Mm-hmm. We got to
correct
right.
Mm-hmm. And Claude, going forward, we know we're going to have several major projects that are going to be permitted and next to. Neighbor to neighbor and that sort of thing. One of the things that I'm always interested in is making sure that when we ask you an opinion or to get us something, how do you balance, okay, I know what they want to do, but how can they do it legally?
Yes.
Rather than, I know what they want to do, but here's everything that says they can't do it.
Right.
You know, what is your philosophy in terms of looking forward for, positive results rather than the negatives?
Yes. So I think the town council represents the people, and those ideas and how you want to carry the vision for the island forward. We've got to make sure we do that in a manner that's in accordance with state law, which has the blessing of state law is that it gives us very clear guidelines in many areas. It's not in every area, but many areas. And so I love being that person that comes and says, listen, I love your vision for the marina and what you want to do, but here are the things that we've got to do to make sure we comply with state law. I don't mind being that person. I understand that politically that can be tough. You've got council members who want to do something a certain way and can be very opinionated about how that's done. But I see myself as protecting the town. My job is to protect. I represent the city. I don't represent any particular council member. I don't represent any particular point of view. I think it's good that I don't live in Isle of Palms. I think it's good that I don't maybe have mm-hmm. some of those connections and those predispositions. I can just look at council. I can look at staff, say, here's what the law says. And here's what you can do within the bounds of the law. I don't have a problem with doing that. And I think I can do it in a winsome way, in a kind way. But ultimately, I mean, we've spent a lot of time the last 3 years with Mount Pleasant on that very issue, right? Both of those lawsuits are about, here's what we want to do. How can we do it legally? Now, our opinion in both those cases, and this is very public, is that the 1994 Comprehensive Planning Act, we felt, required both of those projects to go before council. That was our opinion. And for many years, the town, to a great benefit to the developer, had not required that. And the developer made a lot of money over the years doing that, not having to go to council, not having to go to planning commission when they shifted uses in both of those, mm-hmm. in the Park West. And the town attorneys had to do a very hard thing of saying, listen, we think state law applies here. It happened to align with the fact that we didn't want to build an apartment complex in the middle of Park West, which is already crazy and burned. But we felt we had a legitimate legal reason for doing that. And they did. And so in the other case, like the Atlantic case, the big issue in that case was the impact assessment ordinance. You have a project that's very large. It comes in, it has to go through an impact assessment. And what does the law say about what we can do with an impact assessment and what can council do? I can't use the impact assessment ordinance on the one hand to just throw away projects that I don't like. That's not what an impact assessment ordinance is for. On the other hand, had legitimate negative impacts on that community that we felt council absolutely had every right under the impact assessment ordinance and state law to vote no, absolutely. The developer disagreed and sued. But I think there are many instances where you're walking that line, but my job is to protect the town. We want to, there are sometimes that lawsuits are unavoidable, but we don't want to always be engaged in litigation. We want to follow the law. It's terrible. Listen, it is, people always underestimate the drain on resources and your time and stress that litigation is. They always underestimate that. There are times when you stand on principle and you fight for those principles, But you got to count the cost of that. Mm-hmm. You got to count the cost of that because we're 3 years, 3.5 years later. We just now had our trial in the Park West case. We don't have a decision yet. We'll see what the court says. But it's a big drain on resources to do this thing. So I'm here to protect I would be here to protect the island from those kind of things. We follow the law and understand where we are in gray areas that we run the risk of litigation.
John, another question?
Yeah, and thanks for the detailed thorough answers, Clive. It's really helpful for us to kind of get an understanding of how you think and work and the experience you've got.
Thank you.
Above and beyond the resume, which is only helpful to an extent. A question I always like to ask folks is, a time in which you face a conflict with a client, whether that's private or public, and how that conflict was resolved and the action you took to kind of make sure everything was handled appropriately and professionally.
It's a great question. Let me think of a good example. And you're talking specifically conflict with a client.
Yeah, but if you've got a better example than we're really just kind of looking for conflict resolution.
Sure. Okay, so I'll give you a good example. There was, I don't know if you noticed on my resume, I think it's on there. I've been trained in sort of peacemaking and mediation type principles. Now, I'm going to say very clearly, I haven't been trained by the South Carolina Bar. I haven't gone through their mediation training. But that is something I think, one, I'm gifted in, and something I hold in high esteem, right? And so as the council, people have different opinions, there's going to be conflict, right? So this is not about avoiding all conflict. We're going to have conflict. The issue is how do we deal with it? So this has been now several years ago, Mr. Moy, I was asked to mediate a conflict between two businessmen that I know, and it was, they were partners in a business. They had their personal lives were a wreck, and as a result, their business had become a disaster. And so throughout, we mediated that for 2 days, two full days, and the thing that I wanted to get across to them the entire time was, because the entire time they're, one, I thought they were going to fight for 2 days, but two, they're threatening lawsuit the whole time. And I was trying to communicate to them, listen, at the end of the day, that nuclear option, so to speak, of suing one another is, one, neither one of you are going to win in that instance, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when I'm mediating conflict, whether it's between myself and another person or between other people, was that you want to be able to decide how you resolve this conflict. You want to decide that. You don't want to turn that into the hands of other people. I don't want a judge to decide that for me. I certainly don't want a jury to decide that for me. So the point I tried to point out to people in bigger conflicts, conflicts that have a prospect for litigation, is to say the best way for you to resolve this is in a way that you get to decide how it's done. Once you take it out of your hands,
so true.
I have no idea what's going to happen with that. And it's going to be much, much more expensive. So in that instance, there was no chance these two gentlemen could work together long term. They decided that one gentleman would purchase the business from the other. We spent about half a day negotiating what that price would be. And they rode off into the sunset. And it was interesting, a year later, there was a reconciliation in the sense that the gentleman who walked away, his real estate practice became very successful. And about a year later, he sent a letter saying, hey, I forgive you. It was about six figures, about 100 grand in debt. He said, you don't have to pay that back to me. So I felt it was like they resolved it without suing one another and the expense and stress and difficulty of that. But at the end, they reconciled. They recognized, you know what? We got to handle this in a way that was a win for both of us. One guy got the business. The other gentleman walked away with money ultimately he ended up not needing. And their relationship was restored as well. So I think that's always my, in these big type conflicts, is to make people understand you want to decide how this is resolved. That's to your benefit, to everyone's benefit. That's just what makes the most sense. Does that answer your question?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question. Okay. In terms of your availability to communicate, you know, with me mostly, it'll be, you and I will probably work a lot together.
Yes.
There are a lot of times where we know in advance, you know, what are the questions that we need answers to. But sometimes I'm walking into a meeting, a council member mentions something to me. I don't know if that's legal. I don't know if not. So although we will have some scheduled time to kind of talk through some of the issues, there will be times where I need a response right away, rather, you know, whether it's by email or by text or phone call. And I kind of wanted to hear from you, your availability, understanding that you have another practice and you're, you know, obviously have some arrangements already in place. How you'll balance that with me and with this work?
No, I think that's a great question. If I'm not sitting in a room with a client or I'm not in court, I'm available, period. I will take your call. And I think that Jim and Julia would vouch for that. I've been for the last, again, I didn't represent the town until about 2 years ago, but I've been available to them when they call or email, try to get back to them as quick as I can, unless I'm otherwise, if I'm in a meeting with another client, then that's going to be the point of my focus. And if I'm not, if I'm in court, obviously I can't take phone calls in court. But otherwise, I will take your call and get back to you as quick as I can. You know, I generally, when I'm talking to families that I'm dealing with adoptions, my general practice is return phone calls by the end of the day, return emails within 24 hours. But in this instance, this is different. So many of these matters are so time sensitive. I would take your phone call or respond as soon as possible.
I'll usually say that, you know, if it's time sensitive, I'll preface the question with, you know, can you please get back to me as soon as possible? If not, I'll say it's not urgent.
Yes.
Let me know when you have a chance.
Yes.
A lot of the work that we do, you know, we have a lot of ton of interesting projects and a lot of fires that come up, you know, on a daily basis. And those are really interesting and keeps the work very interesting. But a lot of the work is, you know, checking contracts, making sure that whatever contract that we enter, you know, it protects the city, a lot of FOIA requests, and you reviewing all that documentation and making sure that whatever we supply is, you know, in accordance with FOIA and we're not disclosing any information that we shouldn't have.
Yes.
And I kind of wanted to get, you know, whether or not you have experience with FOIA related issues.
Sure. So my experience with regard to FOIA is certainly more, is less than Julia's. Mm-hmm. I would say she has more experience with that than I did. Having said that, again, our courts have given us, and the statute is pretty discreet. You know, we generally know what we can and can't do. And so I think I can help in those ways. FOIA was a big deal in all these lawsuits because they're discovering a lot of things. So we learned lots of important things, like council members shouldn't be communicating by private email. They should be using their town email addresses to communicate. Lots of things like that. So I've got experience in FOIA. We've many FOIA. Although you sort of have two different ways in a lawsuit, or two different ways that a person can get material from a municipality. One, you have this discovery process. So if you're in the middle of a lawsuit, I can request those things from you separate from FOIA. But then what you see happen in litigation often is parties that maybe have interests, like say Shem Creek has an interest in what's going on in these litigations, so they'll FOIA documents related to those lawsuits. And so I have less experience, but certainly do have some experience in those things, whether it be with regard to, and also I will say is one of my practices, I represented nonprofits for a year, and some of those nonprofits are under FOIA considered quasi-governmental organizations, and so they have to comply with FOIA, and I did some work with them for FOIA, with regard to FOIA as well. But the good news is for Isle of Palms is that having two attorneys is if you call me with a FOIA question, I can find the answer if I don't know it immediately, and usually that's readily available. But then Julia does have that experience, more experience than I do with FOIA. And I can call her, and I would call her. In fact, I would even say my comfort level generally is going to be if she's the city attorney and you ask me for direct, unless it's something super, super sensitive, like you need an answer on the phone right now, I'm generally going to consult with her and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm thinking, how I should advise the city on this issue. Do you agree with that? Again, she's your attorney. Mm-hmm. I'm her assistant, and I view it that way. There's a hierarchy there that I don't want to ever do anything, one, for the city's sake, because that should be the first person you're looking to. But for our relationship, I don't want to ever be seen as trying to get around her and give a different opinion that she gives. She and I are going to speak with one voice, generally. There could be exceptions to that, I imagine, but generally she and I are going to collaborate on things, and we're going to speak with one voice on issues. And so, again, that doesn't mean that I defer to her, since I think there's a legal issue that we need to see differently. But my point is just that I want to make sure that Julie and I are on the same page about how we're counseling Isle of Palms.
How would you, one more question, how would you, if you find yourself in a situation...
I'm sorry that I really messed up my schedule this morning. Claude, I'm going to have to drop off now, and I'll get notes from the rest of the folks there. Thanks so much for your time, and my apologies again to everybody. And I will see some of you later today and some of you later on.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to have the opportunity to speak with you. Thank you.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Thanks, John.
Just one quick question, I guess, with what you were talking about. If you find yourself in a situation when you and Julia do not agree mm-hmm. on the legal approach to a certain issue, how would you go about resolving that before it comes to us?
That's a good question. I mean, I think certainly we've had those conversations multiple times in the context of Mount Pleasant, but one is, the law is what the law is, and if we almost always have an agreement about that. If there's a gray area that we think there are multiple options, then we convey that to the town. But I don't think it's helpful for the two of us to be coming to you with different mm-hmm. opinions about legal questions. Then what are you supposed to do? Mm-hmm. You've got to call a third attorney to break the tie, right? And so generally, we're going to work that out amongst ourselves mm-hmm. and come to you with what we think is the best thing to do. And again, because I think that's what you're hiring us to do. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to give you legal opinions. Yeah. And if we're always, or even a significant amount of time, having different opinions, that's not helpful. Mm-hmm. That makes it more complicated for counsel and staff. And I think generally that's the dynamic I've seen work with her firm and how I've worked with them as well. We work that out. We talk through it. Sometimes that's long and painful. Sometimes it's less so. But that's what we're paid to do, is to come to you with an opinion. That's what we do. And we'll work those differences out between us. Yes.
Carol, do you have any other questions?
I'm good.
Do you have any questions for us, Claude?
No, I think you've actually addressed the issues that I have that are most pointed to me. I think I would say that Julie would be your lead attorney, mm-hmm. and I view it that way, and that I'm comfortable with that hierarchy. I'm glad for that. That protects everyone, and so just know, if either of you call me and say, hey, what do you think about this, I'm going to want to collaborate with Julia on
Absolutely.
That. I think that's important mm-hmm. to say on the front end for the sake of the we're talking about conflict. Mm-hmm. The surefire way for me to cause conflict is to tell you one thing and Julie to tell you something different.
Yeah.
That's a surefire way for us to have trouble and conflict. I want Julie and I to have those discussions, and we communicate with you in a unified manner. I think that's incredibly important to me mm-hmm. for your sake and for everyone's sake.
Well, thank you so much for giving us this time.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
We have not had an interview process for our attorney or assistant attorney, so this is all new for us.
Yes.
But we really appreciate the fact that you're interested in our city.
Yes, thank you for coming in.
Oh, you're most welcome. I'm actually grateful. It speaks highly of you to do this. I've been in the HR world a lot in my life as well, and the people you bring here to work here, those are the most important decisions you make. They really are. And so... So it speaks highly of you that you would have this process. I think that's good. Now, I had to have just a sort of a parenthetical question. Are you the Carol Rice affiliated with the Tea Plantation?
I was, yes.
You were? Okay.
Yes, I'm no longer with the Tea Plantation. I'm with another, but yes.
Okay, well, I was going to say my wife and kids. I haven't been out there. I'm going to go there soon. But my wife and kids love the Tea Plantation.
Oh, good. So. Yes, I am the tea lady.
All right.
And And the process now is that we bring this recommendation to council, and
okay.
then there will be an appointment in December.
Correct. First week of December.
First week in
yes.
December.
Okay.
So we'll be getting back to you.
And then it's confirmed again in January.
In January.
At a special
There's
meeting
two votes.
In January.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Very good.
But by January, you'll know.
Yes.
Well, wonderful.
Well,
thank you both
that.
So much.
Thank you. So
great.
Nice to
it's
meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Pleasure
yes.
to meet you. It's a pleasure to meet you, Madam Clerk.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh,
have a good
welcome.
Week.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Thank you so much.
If the committee wants, they can. You all can make a recommendation to full council, and we'll go to their November 27th meeting for a decision.
Yes, I would like to recommend that we go forward with Julia Copeland as our city attorney and Claude Thackett as our assistant city attorney. And I would like to send that to council for approval.
Second, we have one missing member, but we can still take the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay. So we'll make this
So you're not saying nay?
No, I'm not saying nay.
Okay.
She said any, I guess any nays.
Any nays.
Okay. Okay.
No, I didn't say nays.
Okay.
Okay, with that having done, I think that's all we're scheduled for
all
this
right,
meeting.
I'd like to motion to adjourn.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We are now adjourned.